Attention. Attention.
They are not ready for prime time.
Prime time.
Prime time.
Prime time. That's the name.
Prime time.
Prime time.
What time is it?
Showtime prime time.
It's XL Prime Time. Featuring Joe C.
I reduced my toilet paper down to 3 squares.
Matt Hayes.
Big asses and big thighs, yeah.
And Leon Searcy.
Bringing you love, peace, and soul.
How you like me now? How you like me now?
I'll tell you what I like. I like this beautiful weather, okay? Welcome to our world. Sunshine. Beautiful sunshine state that we live in. We have enjoyed beautiful, cool temps to start, warming up in the afternoon, and we are ready to rock and roll. A Mocama Beer Company Monday right here on XL Primetime. We're minus Big Sirs, but it's Joe C., Matty Hayes, and we are live at the Guggen Open. And I'm looking out, Matty, you and I were upstairs earlier, and hopefully we'll be able to post up there in just a little bit. But we're down in the shade, and we're looking out on the practice green here at Hidden Hills as the Guggen Open is well underway. Now, there's betting. I don't know if you know this. There's a Calcutta with a lot at stake between Dan Hicken, Mr. Ten, Jeff, and all these other guys. That there is some serious skins on the line. And I had to – you know where I put my money?
Pross.
Of course I did.
The athlete.
Of course nice. I did. And so we'll find out whether or not he's the Scottie Scheffler of the Guggen Open
or not. And if he isn't
–
He's going to just get relentless from us.
Yeah, probably. Probably. All right, so welcome to the Coastal Equipment Guggen Open. We say thanks to Coastal Equipment for bringing you the Guggen every single year. And we also say thanks to Mocama Beer Company on a Monday where you can enjoy delicious coffee every single day of the week. And then, of course, craft beer. Their beautiful lineup of beer that they brew themselves is all on display Tuesday through Sunday at the original tap room, which is in Fernandina Beach, South 8th Street, and then also their brand new Wildlight location, which is also a great place to go and enjoy. So you could definitely enjoy all that as you go along. If you're up in Nassau County, we'd love to see you. All right, now there's plenty of other things that we will talk about today besides the Guggen Open. We may dip our toe in that Augusta National conversation, the Masters. Have you heard of it? Ever heard of it?
Yeah.
So Scottie Scheffler takes care of business yesterday. He's now worn the green jacket twice in 3 years' time, and he's the reigning Players' Champion and the Masters' Champion. That is absolutely 100% rare air. So we're going to say hello to Mark Carnevale coming up in about 15 minutes and get his take. But just on the face, you had great theater. You had a golf course that decided, you know what? We don't like to see low numbers anymore. We are going to make sure that these greens are running hellish fast, and that's basically what it was. Over the course of the 4 days.
It was, but I mean, let's be honest. Over the final nine holes, which is when that tournament is always won.
Oh, you see great shots. Yeah.
Not only that, Scottie just said, all right, this is mine. Mm-hmm. I'm taking this right now.
Yeah.
And that's what happened.
Yeah.
And that the best golfer on the planet did exactly that.
Yeah. And so, look, if you guys enjoyed it, you got a memory from it. Tiger Woods got his score got torched over the weekend. Some of the worst that you've seen from Tiger. But at the same time, were you just happy to see him out there trying to make it happen? He made a cut, 24 consecutive cuts made, another piece of history in the game from Tiger that we were treated to. He ain't the same. I think we all know that. But he still got an opportunity to make the cut, competed, and now we'll see whether or not he can come back. But we're going to focus in on all the storylines around Augusta from the week. And then also Saturday, a ton of college football. So if you're a Gator fan, we'd love to hear from you. Hit the text line designed by Lifetime Enclosures at 641-1010. If you were over in Gainesville, what was it? Close to 50,000, Maddie, that filled up the swamp just to see the new-look Napiers, just to hope that they were going to be a little bit better than what the old-look Napiers looked like. What did you think?
I think you got a situation where you really need Graham Mertz to play really well. And I'd say that because I think if you want Billy Napier to stay there, Graham Mertz has to play well.
Yeah.
Because I don't see – they're just – it's very difficult in that league – prior to this season, to win enough games to save your job with a true freshman quarterback. Now you're adding Texas and Oklahoma in the mix. You're adding Texas for Florida, but Oklahoma in the mix in the SEC. Mm-hmm. You're adding UCF as a non-conference game, which is going to be a difficult game for them. You're adding Miami.
Mm-hmm.
They cannot be in a situation where they don't have a guy at quarterback who at least has seen everything.
Yeah.
And it's funny because every time we hear someone talk or Billy Napier talks about Graham Mertz, it's always the he started 43 games.
Mm-hmm.
Apparently that's a big deal now that you've started 43 games in your career. Look, the guy, he clearly improved last year.
Mm-hmm.
He clearly was a different player by the end of last season. He's going to have to play at another level for them to get to the 8 wins that Steve Spurrier predicted on the Franchise Show on Friday, which that's a large jump. 8-4 is a large jump.
Got a chance. Skaters might win 8 games this year. If things fall a certain way and they play well and don't make mistakes, there's a chance. So you're telling me you got a chance.
I will say this. Lagway looked good.
Yeah.
Lagway looked good. He looked like a guy that can make every throw. He's very athletic. I think they didn't – you know, they were protecting the quarterback, so he couldn't run. Half of what he does, the way he hurts defenses with his legs, really wasn't on display. So he can be a very nice changeup for them. The question is, at what point does he become more if Graham Mertz – either gets hurt or B is ineffective.
Mm-hmm.
Because at some point you're hitting it right out of the box. If you don't, if you're not out to a very good start in the month of September, you're in deep trouble.
Oh yeah, and you know, you have gone with that mantra is that either he hits it out of the park and they're one of the great stories, or
Coach
he's gone.
You're fire after a month. Yeah.
Or he's going to be gone shortly into October, whatever the case might be. All right, so if you're a Gator fan and you were there, let us know. 641-1010. We'd love to hear from you. Hit the text line, Design by Lifetime Enclosures, and jump in on what you saw. I'm going to jump in on DJ Lagway. I might as well. Let's just go ahead and make this the 10-10 take. RJ, because coming out of this spring game, Gator fans want to see change. They're hoping for change.
Now, Josie's 10-10 take. Slow smoked and served up by Sonny's Barbecue, local pitmaster since 68.
I've been accused of being a negative Gator alumnus from time to time because I just don't see what I want to see. And so I will admit it. I'll answer to it if that's how you're couching me. But when you think of Sonny's, you think of great barbecue, you think of one of the originals right there in Gainesville. So anytime you're heading over there, you can enjoy a delicious meal there or anywhere on the First Coast. Make sure you load up on some delicious ribs, pork, chicken, whatever it might be. So this much I know. I've nicknamed Billy Napier, Billy Napier. I've nicknamed him Billy Vanilli. I've had fun with all of this. But now I honestly saw something on Saturday that should give Gator fans hope. And I'll just go ahead and say it right now, Matt Hayes. I'll say start DJ Lagway. I don't care how inexperienced he is. I don't care if he's a true freshman. If you are going to do something to ignite the flames, to get people believing, to get people saying, hey, that kid is going to be special, you've got to figure out a path to get him on the football field ASAP. And it could be a package where he is delivering certain types of plays, or you just turn him loose, because I like what I saw from DJ Lagway. That is the 10-10 take, as you nod your head and go, you've got to be kidding me.
I mean, you do know that, like, literally when he was in there, they were like, okay, this is the play we're running, DJ.
Everything was scripted. I know
that. If this first progression's not there, the second one is.
Yeah.
Throw it there.
Yeah.
If not, don't worry. You're not going to get sacked. We'll just take the play and start the play over.
Here's what I saw.
If there are no do-overs
when the
real bullets are flying.
I totally get it. And that offensive line had better be good. But when the play breaks down, he can take off and make something happen. I do think that's one of the extra skill sets that he has that a Graham Mertz does not possess. And then Graham Mertz would fall into the trap of, I got to get the ball out, check down, he's getting rid of the ball earlier. You saw, I would describe as a few wow plays from DJ Lagway where you just went, damn.
I mean, no doubt.
Let me see that again.
He threw some nice second-level throws, especially the touchdown pass. He basically dropped that in between three defenders.
Yeah.
It was very nice. Look, there's no doubt about it. I'm not minimizing that. All I'm saying is,
and by the way, he looked off a safety on that throw.
Yeah, physically, he's got it.
Yeah.
But mentally is a different deal, man. And
I understand.
I'm not just talking about progressions and the passing game concepts. I'm talking about when it's third quarter on the road in the SEC and it's third and nine, the place is going crazy.
Right.
Do you crumble? That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah. No, that part I get. And I totally understand it. And that's why I want to hear what Gator fans have to say. 641-1010. You can text us and let us know, or go on social at 1010XL Joe C or at Matt Hayes CFB and just kind of let us know what you saw, what you think. And this usually happens. You see something you like, you want to see more of it, you say, hey, get him in. Because I have arrived at a point where I don't quite understand why true freshmen aren't playing right away. I know the NIL has an effect on some of these guys. Hey, here's your money. Sit, learn, listen, and then when it's your time, you're going to be able to step up. Well, that just doesn't happen too often. Like the Nikos up in Tennessee, that dude, basically you're only going to see him for 2 years before he's gone. And whereas if he was talented enough, you would figure out a way to play him sooner than later. And I feel like if Billy Napier can figure out a way to get this guy incorporated into the offense, it doesn't necessarily need to be all his all the time, but incorporated into that offense, you've got a much better chance that they'll look better, they'll have a chance to score more points, and they might be competitive.
So I think what you're saying is true with behind the idea of these guys are only here for 3 years. Play them as much as you can.
That's the way I'm looking at it.
By the way, Nico has another pronunciation of his last name.
Oh, is he doing it again?
It's changed again. He actually said it two different ways.
So he's like Oberg.
It's funny as hell, actually. And anyway, back to your point. You do have to use these guys all 3 years. The years of letting guys sit and wait, it doesn't work because then you'll have them for two because then they'll be gone. There's no doubt about that. But you're also taking a huge gamble.
I know.
Huge gamble. And quite frankly, and believe me, I was a guy who was on Mertz for more than anyone last year.
Yeah.
All right? But I think he has enough to put them in position to be in games in the fourth quarter to win games.
Right.
Doesn't mean they're going to. Yeah. Doesn't mean they won't implode defensively. All I'm telling you is I think he has seen enough with those 43 starts, JoJo. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. He has seen enough. Nothing's going to surprise him. Nothing's going to phase him. They have better skill guys around him now. Mm-hmm. So there's a chance. Can they protect him? I don't know. That's obviously the key. It's the key for the Jaguars, too. Can they protect Trevor Lawrence? Who knows?
Yeah, exactly.
So that's really what it comes down to.
Well, I've already officially been called a nut on the text line. Joe is a nut, and so I don't mind it at all. It was a spring game. I totally get that, too. That quarterback and Graham Mertz is garbage, so we're hearing from plenty of fans out there.
April Fool's Joe is what it is.
Yeah, exactly, which is fine because there used to be a time when you would look at these spring games, you'd learn a little bit about who the next guys are going to be on your football team, and I actually came out of this game encouraged by the run game, encouraged by some of the defensive players. You can't really count too much on the defensive side when, like what Matt describes is true, they're scripting plays. They're making sure there's some success on the offensive side of the football.
There are guys in that defense that are players.
Yeah.
Like TJ Searcy?
Yeah.
We have to find out whether they're related because that dude's a player.
Oh, yeah, he is.
That dude
and
is
so
a player.
You're looking, if you look at their depth chart, and they've got some guys on the defensive side of the ball that can create some pressure and can do some things. But back to the quarterback part of this is that this kind of falls under the heading of, if I don't do something now, I won't have the opportunity to make a decision on that later because they're going to run my big butt out of town. You know that. And so he went out and recruited this guy. He saw the skill set. He convinced that guy to say yes to come here. He didn't necessarily hit a home run in the transfer portal or in recruiting in some other areas. That's why Gator fans are a little anxious right now. You put him in a situation where you say, hey, block up front. I got a good run game. They need to get a couple of guys out of the transfer portal in the wide receiving core.
You think?
Yeah, you think? And give him a chance because you're taking a look at some guys that – on the edge for Florida, that they're not going to scare anybody.
Well, I mean, look, they're not what they need to be talent-wise. There's no doubt about that. I think they're deficient on the offensive line, the interior three. I think they're deficient other than TJ Searcy. They're, you know, we don't know what Justice Boone yet. We don't know what he's going to be like because he hasn't completed a full, you know, he's not completely back yet.
Right.
But they clearly need guys that can get the quarterback. It's what I say all the time, affect the quarterback, protect the quarterback. Mm-hmm. And I think they're kind of shaking both areas, and that's not a good place to be in.
No, no. All right, so Florida game, Georgia spring game, Alabama, LSU, Tennessee. You got a bunch of them that you guys can take a look at and jump in if you saw your team. What did you think of Kalen DeBoer with his debut? Here's the thing I know about Alabama and Tuscaloosa. Like Nick Saban's going to come out of retirement and become the superintendent of that field. Okay, that field looked like A, and it wasn't a good A. Okay, that thing looked like, well, you know, I got a bunch of potato farmers that I love dearly over there in Hastings. It looked like it had been a tilled farm, a piece of farmland. What was going on? Green in the middle and butt on both sides? I didn't know what that was. So you can get into the Alabama game. Let us know what you're thinking about that one. LSU, Georgia, Tennessee. There are plenty of other big ones that we can look at. Ohio State as well. Ohio State's trying to figure out what they've got. They've got a
couple. No quarterback yet.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, what is
– Well, I think – okay, here's the deal. I think more than likely nearly every program that has a quarterback, quote-unquote, competition, they're not naming a starter. Because if you do, then the guy's in the portal, which opens officially tomorrow.
Which is just crazy.
Right. And he's in the portal and he's out and he can transfer and play wherever he wants because that's the new rule now. You can play wherever you want no matter how many times you transferred. So that's what everybody's doing. That's what they're doing on a lot of positions, but more so the quarterback spot because they're trying to eliminate the turnover of that spot. But that's why I think Ohio State didn't name Will Howard. That's why LSU, if you can believe this, didn't name Garrett Nussmeier. But Garrett Nussmeier,
he looked very good.
He looked very good.
Yeah.
So there's a lot going on that you have to like kind of read through the lines as well. There's the next week and a half, probably like 7-10 days, is really going to explain what happens in the fall because you're going to see guys leaving these teams, and there will be like elite guys that will leave teams too, just for better NIL deals.
Yeah.
And there'll be guys that are competing for jobs on one team that could start on another team. So you're going to see a lot of different movement, and it could help some, and it might even hurt some.
That starts in earnest tomorrow.
Yeah.
So we'll get into all that. One off the text line, Gator fan, Duval's own Pup Howard in the Northern Illinois transfer. Goom's looking good, so that's a positive on the defensive side
of football. Yeah, Pup's going to start for them. It's 100% he will.
Yeah, and so that's one of the guys that they definitely were looking for when they brought him in. You are potentially talking about two starters, though, right? You would have to say for Pup. Yeah.
Well, Pup's definitely starting. There's no doubt about that.
So you have
100%.
So we'll figure out whether or not which of these guys can step up and make plays on that side of the ball. But let us know exactly what you were thinking if you were over there or if you're in any of these games over the weekend or watched them, took them in on ESPN or whatever channel you might have gone back and watched. Say hello to Mark Carnival. Talk a little Augusta with him, and then we'll get back into the spring games, the potential of the transfer portal. But how about a round of applause for the throwback unis? Jacksonville going with some throwback unis, that stalking Jaguar with the big claw. Like I have above in the sports lounge, above my Lazy Boy couch, I have the old jersey from Tony Boselli, framed, first Hall of Famer for your Jaguars, and I have it proudly. And you could see that claw of that Jaguar coming out. So I know you guys got to be pumped about the throwbacks. You can hit us on that as well at 641-1010. Jump in. It's XL Primetime, Mokama Beer Company Monday. Joe C., Matty Hayes, minus Big Surge today. He'll be back tomorrow. We'll say hello to Mark Carnival, our golf guy, coming up in just a few moments about how big a win was that for Scotty Scheffler.
The First Coast Honda Dealer Studios on 1010XL. Let's ring up another guest on the All-Pro Roofing phone line.
We come to you from the Coastal Equipment Guggen Open. It is a gorgeous day out here at Hidden Hills. And every single year this thing goes off without a hitch. And it's thanks to high-flying Jack O'Brien because the guy makes it happen. Along with the rest of the sales staff, everybody here, definitely looking forward to it. Coastal Equipment, Guggen Open, well underway, and I'm sure we'll see some low scores. Scores that might be accompanied by an eraser, if you know what I'm saying.
Yep.
Okay, you never know. Yep. You never know. Listen, I'm not judging. Let's say hello to our man, Mark Carnival. No erasers up at Augusta, just nothing but an impressive performance from Scotty Scheffler. First off, Carney, in your little golf tournament that you were involved in, did you win any skins?
I win every day that I play golf.
Oh, yeah, that's true. That is true.
That means he didn't win, but that is still true. Taking home the trophy.
Yeah.
Because these days, it's so far and few in between when I play that I just enjoy it. But I was out there with Liz, and we spent a couple of days down at the new place, Cabot Citrus Farms, where the old Worldwood was. They came down, and they're redoing that whole place. And we spent a couple of days down there, and it was good. But you're saying there's fudging in tournament golf?
It's so funny because usually there's someone with a pair of binoculars and it's the last score that's turned in because he's reading the leaderboard from the 18th green.
I can't believe that. That's so unheard of.
shocking. All right, so let's get to the honestly, I think I'd like to start off with this, Carney, because I think Augusta, and you were there earlier in the week, they were determined to handle the weather, which they did beautifully, but then also make these greens as tough as I think we've seen them in a long, long time.
Yeah, wow. I mean, certainly Mother Nature sort of accelerated that with despite the overnight rain they had on Wednesday night and early Thursday morning, which delayed the start of the Masters tournament, but wow. I mean, that golf course, I mean, I played it, and it's been 31 years ago since I played there. It was tough, and obviously they've done a lot of things to it then, but wow, it looked like you had to absolutely have your wits about yourself in order to be able to make your way around there, and it was challenging, and it just seemed like around every corner there was a shot that just the players just scratched their heads about, and it was tough, but it's a tough test, and it should be a tough test.
So, Carney, Tiger, 16 over, 304.
Yeah.
You said the course is tough, obviously. Do you think this in any way could possibly deter him from playing in future majors because he just doesn't want to embarrass himself?
I would say there is that possibility. But what I heard him say in his sort of meeting with the scrum afterwards was that, he was going to – people just don't pay attention to signs. Sorry. I'm in my car. he said he needs to go do some reconnaissance. So his plan is to play them. And I think that's great. But even as he admitted that Augusta National is, of course, he knows the best of any of them. He even said it. He figured he could figure out a way to get around there, which he did.
Right. That's what I was thinking.
I think one of the things, and again, I have anything to base this on. I think Tiger wants to go out on his own terms, if that's what his choice is. It's going to be hard for him to compete, and it has nothing to do with his ability. It's just the physical aspect of it. I guess if anybody could do it, and I've always said it would be him, but you have to wonder, how long is he going to do this? Now, remember, that's the first full 72-hole event he's played in over 2 years.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
So maybe I'm, and a lot of people are coming to a conclusion too early. But
or maybe it's
I would
reality.
Think, yeah, that's and I agree. I don't think he's gonna, beat around the bush and say, well, maybe it'll come together. He'll get a sense of it. I think no one, as my father once told me, he said, no one knows your golf game better than you, and I would say Tiger is the same way. And if he realizes, comes to the realization that, hey, this is just not working out. Obviously, the fans of golf love him out there. But knowing him, how I've known him over the years, he's a competitor. And he's not going to tee it up unless he thinks he can win. At some point, that could happen. And again, I just hope it's on his terms. But it's going to be a challenge for him, I think. And it's hard to say that about the guy that was most dominant player maybe in the game. That's still up for debate, but it just seems as though the writing is on the wall.
Yeah,
maybe.
Yeah, it might be like you said. The thing I will take out of our conversation is 2 years, 72 holes. So let's give him a little time. Let's see. But and there's no question about it. The demanding walk in and of itself at Augusta is totally different. But it's also, like we have maintained, it's a golf course that he does know how to score on. And when he misses on par fives, it's revealing. It really is. All right, let's get to a couple of these other guys. We're talking with our man Mark Carnevale. You hear him, Sirius XM PGA Tour Radio, PGA Tour Live, as a former Rookie of the Year on the PGA Tour. So let's get to Scheffler. Let's get to the winner, because Saturday, you go back to Saturday where he made a poor swing, made a double, looked like he was leaking just a little bit of oil, and then he makes the first eagle of the day at 13 after getting through a couple of good looks at 11 and 12 and not taking advantage of it. Bottom line is, I think that set his confidence meter. It kind of reset it, and then we all know what happened after that.
And interesting enough, I don't think the shot he hit at 10 was that bad a shot. He just either miscalculated, misjudged, or whatever. But his reaction was so – his reaction throughout the entire week to anything negative, so to speak, bogeys, bad shots, maybe poor errors in judgment, was the same. I mean, he's totally unfazed by it. I go back to Bay Hill and even TPC. It's almost like, Joe, he sets it out there, and it's like, okay, guys, I'm going to give you a chance. And I don't think he believes it, but it certainly looks that way. Like, okay, I'm going to give you a chance to maybe take hold of this tournament. And they just kind of sit there. And now he was tied. I think there was a four-way tie as he was getting ready to go to eight or whatever. And then it's like, okay, well, I gave you the chance. Boom. Pedal to the metal. I mean, you look back at Day Hill, same thing. Players, kind of the same thing. He is unbelievable. Actually, I sent his father a text last night afterwards, obviously congratulating him. And I've got to know his father, Scott, quite a bit, as you know, out there working and seeing him out there and his family. Just a great fan. This guy is so different. It's amazing in this world of, you know, we talk about professional sports. And even though now, I mean, he made over $12 million in the last 4 weeks, whatever it is. I mean, that's kind of unheard of in the game of golf back in my day, for sure. Something different about him. I mean, even in his press conference, when someone asked him about, you know, the upcoming birth of he and Meredith's first child, you know, where's golf going to rank? And he says, well, you know, my son or my child, my wife, probably fourth. And you heard a little bit about, obviously, his faith in that press conference. But I think what's different about him, he doesn't, you know, profess it. He doesn't go around professing that. That's his belief. That's what he believes in himself. Just an unusual guy in that sense. And it's refreshing, at least in my opinion, to have someone in that much, what appears to be in that much control of his personal life, that when he's on the golf course, and this is what he says, he's focused on winning golf tournaments.
So, Carney, we talk about this all the time, how, you know, one golf hole in a tournament doesn't live in a vacuum. One shot affects one hole, affects two holes, affects three holes, because you're constantly chasing if you get greedy. And Colin Morikawa admitted he got greedy on the back nine there. That's the nature of the game, right? When you're trailing, or when you feel like you've got a chance, you got to get greedy, don't you?
Well, that's the nature of Augusta for sure. that place will just punish you if you're just a hair off. But it is. But I also believe, and if you're Colin Morikawa, you have to risk losing in order to win. I mean, you have to be willing to take that chance. And as long as you can accept that, at least in my mind, that's okay. Because, you know, what you saw for years and years and years, and maybe even some cases now, you know, guys, you know, are in contention, they come to the last hole, and people say, well, I play conservative. But, you know, depends on how you look at it. I truly believe, and always believe, you have to risk losing in order to win. And, you know, those guys had to do that. And I think part of that is understanding the player that Scottie Scheffler was and is, and that they know that he's not going to give it to them, so they need to go out and try to get it. And as a player, if you can accept that, then it's not going to have a lasting effect, I don't think. You know, he was still trailing Scottie when that happened. Tried to make something happen, and, you know, it didn't work out that way.
Yeah, there were, going back to Saturday again, there were putts he absolutely needed to hit on Saturday that did not drop. He had so many good looks and kept himself, obviously, in position, but did not – he went through the entire back nine without a score, without a mark on the card either. Yeah. And so it was just crazy. All right, so a couple of other things. When we take a look at the – other guys that were at the top, you certainly had to feel good about the future of the PGA Tour when you see what Ludvig Åberg was able to do. And for that matter, Colin Morikawa, because he is a two-time major winner. He is close. He did win at the end of last year at the Zozo. But definitely, we saw Fleetwood and some other guys rise.
Yeah, it did. I mean, absolutely. I mean, Tommy Fleetwood was just a grinder. And I mean, there's got to be at some point he's going to win a tournament over here. Percentages would tell you that. Åberg is just unbelievable. I mean, I saw him when he first came out on tour right after he got out of school and made his few starts in the summer last year. And I'm like, wow. I mean, this guy, there's just something about him. You can see him. And I've been out here long enough, Joe, and you've been around this game long enough. You just look at a player and you just know there's great things ahead of this guy. My picks would have been, if someone was going to win, you know, maybe outside of Scheffler, would have been Åberg, you know, as a, particularly as a first-time winner. So, yeah, his future is going to be interesting, and this is only going to help him grow. I mean, again, was he, is he 22 years old maybe? If not even that yet. So he's going to be good. I would say probably the one player that I think is maybe going to be most disappointed could be Max Homa.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, he was right there, and like Matt was saying, didn't, like Morikawa, didn't really get a lot going on Saturday afternoon. I think it was 30-some holes where he didn't make a birdie.
And he doubled 12 with one poor swing.
Yeah.
Yeah. So,
Carney.
It was great. It really was a great week.
So, Will Zalatoris, tied for second at Riviera, tied for fourth at Arnold Palmer. Ninth in the Masters, you know, he clearly did make the cut at the Players, but he now looks like he's back, right? Like he's healthy and he's swinging the club really well.
Yeah, he is. He is, Matt. I mean, and I think again, it's just going to take some time. You know, he needs to get under that gun. I mean, he was close, but he needs to kind of get under that as a player. It's like with anything, you know, whether you're a quarterback, whether you're a pitcher, whether you're a basketball player, you've been out for a while. You know, you got to be able to trust it, and I think he is starting to trust. Obviously, everything from the surgery, what he's had to adjust in his golf game, and he's without question, you got to like his grittiness and you know, the way he plays. And I think, as we go through the rest of this season, I think he's definitely going to emerge as one of those guys that are up there week in and week out.
All right, so finish off with the PGA Tour versus the LIV Players. It didn't break my heart that Bryson DeChambeau struggled. It did not one bit. You know, I like Cameron Smith, certainly love watching his game, and a couple of others. Tyrrell Hatton was able to at least get back in contention, finished level. But anyway, what do you feel the conversation will be on that front coming out of this week?
I don't know if it's going to change, Joe. You know, I'll maybe hear something. I'll be working up at Hilton Head for PGA Tour Live this week. I may hear something, but, you know, I the one thing you do is no matter where you are, you can't hide talent. And certainly, Cameron Smith has talent. Certainly Bryson has talent, however you want to interpret it. You know, there's something about him that is extremely interesting and personally, I think, good for golf. It's different. I just don't know. I still go back. That, you know, those guys are kind of competing against the same guys week in and week out. And yeah, you can say that about the PGA Tour, but the numbers are greater. And you have those stories of an Akshay Bhatia or a Denny McCarthy and you know, a Peter Melnati that mix in there. They don't really have that on LIV. And I think that creates interesting. That creates a little of an edge amongst the best players. I don't know. I mean, it's, you know, I think we saw last year, a year ago at the Masters, we thought, okay, well, they'll come in there and they'll be right there. And, yeah, you could say they were close to being in that, and certainly Bryson was right there. I think there's a lot to the week-in and week-out competition against the best in the world and where it's an advantage the Tour has. But, again, I still think the stories that come out of the PGA Tour are greater than anything LIV could even imagine. In the sense of what happens. And look, I want to see these guys play week in and week out against one another. I think the golf world would love that. You know, right. We talked about it all week long, how it was great to see these guys amongst the media, and it was. But it was their choice, folks. It was their choice. They didn't have to go over there, but they did.
So, Carney, here's – obviously we know where you and Joe stand, and I respect the hell out of that. I would just say this. I was talking with Joe Friday, and I said – where can you watch these guys play on tour, the LIV guys? You still can't watch them on TV, Carney. You still can't just say, all right, well, here they are. I'm going to watch these guys. And I, if I'm the tour, I just wait it out because they're going to die on the vine, will they not?
Yeah, unfortunately, they've got to get a large bucket of money behind them.
They do, but at some point, won't they just say, all right, this is ridiculous. We're getting nothing out of it.
I would agree.
I get that.
Yeah. I mean, as a business person, I would, I mean, what – at what point am I getting something out of this? I don't know. You know, they're going to be able to see him compete, you know, in the major championships. Is that enough for the public? I mean, what are they on, CW? I don't know. I've never watched one shot of their event, so I don't know.
I haven't seen one.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I think they were on CW, but they're actually buying that time, what I'm understanding. Yeah, I mean, it's again, it's this the world we live in away, Matt. I mean, where money is the most important thing to some people, and I get that. I can't knock someone for that. But, man, you didn't play this game because of money. You didn't start playing it because of money. You played it because you loved it. You had the passion for it. And now, certainly kids now realize how much, you know, they might be able to make out of it. It's changed. So that's a hard switch to flip, I think. And you go out there, you've already got your money, you're playing, it's great. You're around your buddies, you're wearing shorts, there's music going on. I get it, but that's very different from what made you love and fall in love with this game.
Yep, and even Rob going into the week said maybe we need to go four rounds. Yeah, I'm with you, bro. All right, listen, good stuff as always. Enjoy Harbor Town, Hilton Head Island up there, and we will definitely hook up with you soon.
All right, Matt. Joe, take care.
All right, buddy. Mark Carnevale, SiriusXM PGA Tour Radio and PGA Tour Live. Definitely appreciate him jumping on with us. Let's react to that. You guys can hit the text line, 641-1010. And honestly, coming out of it, you saw a few guys that were able to play and compete, and we'll see them again in a month's time, at least some of them, when we get to the PGA and then the U.S. Open and then the Open. So we'll stay on that, but also back to the spring football games, transfer portal opening up. And your Jacksonville Jaguars, as we're counting it down, we are now closing in on that threshold of 1 week.
10 days away, yeah.
Yeah, 1 week until the NFL draft. That'll be coming up right here on XL Primetime. Mocama Beer Company Monday. Don't forget, you can log on mocama.com and see all the great craft that they have to offer. You can pick it up at Total, ABC, or hit their tap rooms up in Nassau.
Buckle up. You're in the First Coast Honda Dealer Studios with XL Primetime on 1010XL. Find your new Honda at your 8 local Honda dealers. The Weekend Rewind, brought to you by Cycles of Jacksonville, the big boy toy store for big boy toys.
Scottie Scheffler wins his second Masters in 3 years.
His stardom confirmed.
Sitting around with my buddies this morning, I was a bit overwhelmed because I told him, I was like, I wish that I didn't want to win as badly as I did, or as badly as I do. I think it would make the mornings easier. But I love winning. I hate losing. And when you're here in the biggest moments, when I'm sitting there with the lead on Sunday, I really, really want to win badly. And my buddies told me this morning, you know, my victory was secure on the cross. And that's a pretty special feeling.
Andrew McCutchen joined the 300 Career Home Run Club.
Pitch to McCutchen. High fly ball to left, going back is Marsh to the wall, and there it is! Andrew McCutchen, number 300, here in Philadelphia.
Bryson DeChambeau holes out from fairway for birdie on 18.
I would say it certainly didn't help.
That might help, that might help!
Get him on the court and he's trouble. LeBron James messed around and got a triple-double.
LeBron James, just remarkable. Played almost 40 minutes in this game, had a triple-double, added 5 steals.
A lot of good stuff over the weekend, no doubt. If you're a sports fan, there's plenty that you can enjoy and watch every single weekend. Don't forget, Cycles of Jacksonville bringing it to you. If you had a lousy weekend, you can head on over there and check out everything that they've got going on inside the showroom, including the boats from Honda as they are about to come ashore. Pretty fired up about that. All right, 641-1010, you can the text line. We've been talking about Augusta, getting back to some NFL talk as we are counting it down, just over a week away from your Jacksonville Jaguars selecting 17th overall. And we have had
– maybe.
Yeah, exactly. What do you think? Honestly, what do you think? What are the odds as we get a little closer, that maybe some kind of deal could get done?
So here's what I'm looking at, okay? The idea is to do everything you can to help your quarterback, right?
Mm-hmm.
What have they done so far to help their quarterback? So far they've added Gabe Davis, who I think is a good pickup.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know about Mitch Morse. We don't know.
No.
He's an aging veteran, clearly on the downside of his career, a lot like Sheriff. I'm not saying that's bad. I'm just saying it's facts.
Right.
Whether you like it or not, those are facts.
Just to give you an idea of how long Mitch Morse has been around, supporting your argument, he came into the league when Doug Peterson was still part of Andy Reid's staff in Kansas City.
Right. So. Yeah. Again, those are just facts. All I'm saying is, what have you done for him? And I think if the idea was, look, we've got to do whatever we can to help him mm-hmm. become what he can be,
mm-hmm.
then move up. And if you got a receiver that you love, or you got a player that you think can help you immediately,
mm-hmm.
and the only thing you're going to move up for, I would think, receiver. You're not going to move up to draft a guard or draft a tackle, right?
No.
Right, so it's going to be a receiver. If you do it, if you like them,
It could actually be a tackle if you're going to move Cam, okay?
True.
It could be a tackle if you're going to move Cam. Save that money. Start preparing for the future by getting a young draft pick. You control his rights for 5 years, and you say goodbye to Cam. You get $17 million. You start putting that towards in the bank account towards Trevor's deal and whomever else is coming up next year. So that's possible.
I think the question is at what point when the pick comes, if they're at 9,
yeah,
and Roma Dunsey's still not off the board, or Marvin Harrison Jr. or Malik Nabers, any of those three are still not off the board. Is it 10? Is it 11? At what point do you say, we're going now? Yeah. Now we're going.
To your point, the one thing that is pretty dang obvious is that the only thing that would make sense for you to move up and jump into that 9 spot, that 8 spot, wherever it might be, is for a playmaking wide receiver.
Somebody like that. You better make sure he's going to hit.
Oh, yeah.
Because receivers and corners that high, my God.
Yeah. If you go down the line and you look at some of the fails, especially in the first round when it comes to the wide receiver, it'll drive you a little nuts. This leads me to one thing. I want to bring this up. Probably need to bring this up with Sirs again a little bit later on. But you can find wide receivers much later in the draft, even though we start this discussion by saying, hey, if they traded up, what do you expect them to do with that move? Offensive lineman? Cornerback, wide receiver, rush in, defensive tackle.
They're going wide receiver if they move up.
Isn't that funny? That's what most people would probably think because it's the only one that would make sense to move up. But at the same time, you have to look realistically at how many good players in the receiving core have come out of the first round. And I think you'd be surprised.
Right, I'm with you. That's what I'm saying. If you're moving up to get a wide receiver or a corner, even if you're moving to the top 10, man, it better just be an absolute lock.
You better get it right. All right, so let me see if I can find these guys. All right, so here it is. 10 highest paid NFL wide receivers. This is their average per year money, right? And where they were selected in the draft. Tyreek Hill. 5th round. He's making $16.5 million a year.
Right.
I think that's his number. Anyway, this is the highest paid average per year and where they were selected in the draft. Tyreek Hill, 5th round, 165th pick overall. Devontae Adams, 2nd round, 53rd pick overall. Cooper Kupp, 3rd round, 69th pick overall. A.J. Brown, 2nd round, 51st. DK Metcalf, 2nd round, 64th. Debo Samuel, 2nd round, 36th. Michael Pittman, 2nd round, 34th. Calvin Ridley, 1st round, 26th. Terry McLaurin, 3rd round, 76th pick overall. Stephon Diggs, 5th round, 146th overall. Those are the 10 highest paid wide receivers average per year.
Yes. I mean, that's what I've been saying. I mean, and you can say, well, what about Jamar Chase and mm-hmm. what about Justin Jefferson? I get all of that. I get mm-hmm. that.
Yeah.
The odds are you're not going to hit on a wide receiver in the top 10.
Yeah.
They just aren't. And if by some strange chance Marvin Harrison Jr. falls down to like 9,
mm-hmm.
yeah, I mean, I think I would move up. Mm-hmm. It's whatever it took. Even if Marvin Harrison Jr. is still there at 8, I think mm-hmm. I'd do that too, even if it costs more.
Yeah, I don't know what it would cost, and I think we're starting to learn a little bit about where the draft value board may fall once we get closer to draft night. And if someone is going to take a big swing, Chicago's in a prime position. We know that because they do have the first. They have 2 top 10 picks. We've seen Minnesota already make a move to maybe – get into that position to where they could package up and move up. And so we know the sweepstakes, generally speaking, are going to be for the quarterback. Okay? So where's the next set of sweepstakes? Is it for a Marv? Is it for that next wide receiver? I don't know. Because I don't think there's going to be this huge market for the offensive tackle where you say, I got to go get him. This is a little bit of a deeper offensive tackle class than maybe we've seen in the last couple of years, including a couple of guys that can go interiorly and play. But you don't have a whole lot of defensive tackles. You only have a couple premier rush-ins, right? You only have – if right now, where would you put it? Dallas Turner and Jared Verse are the only two guys that are going to land in the top half of the first round. Is that right?
Yeah.
That's what it seems like to me.
That's what I would guess.
Yeah. And so that's what they have to figure that out and try and – come up with the decision that if they are to mortgage their future, that they better be able to get something out of it. Listen, I put money on Jeff Prosser rolling in a putt at 18, and damn if he's over here. Okay. All right. Okay. Okay.
I said bet the athlete.
All right. Listen, I got short odds, but I don't care. Yeah. Oh, you were the high man. Oh, yeah. Dude, oh, yeah, okay. So, Pross is looking for his keys at the same time while he's going, shooting in the mid-70s.
So here's my point with it. Okay, let's say four quarterbacks go early, mm-hmm. All right? You have a chance of – and, again, let's say there are some teams that are scared about Marvin Harrison not running.
Right.
About Marvin Harrison, you know, not doing any agility drills. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So, let's say he falls down to 8, right?
Yeah.
Then what? Then what do you do? What if Malik Nabers is there at 9?
Well, one texter says, everything for Mav. Every pick, get him on this team. And another one, first round, get a big ugly. Always.
Okay, so I'm not going to say what would you do. I'm just going to tell you this right now.
Right.
All right? If Marvin Harrison's there at 8, do you trade your 17 and your 1 next year for him?
I would be interested in trading my 17th and my 2nd. Okay. I don't know whether they would even think about buying that. I got to look at my draft value board and figure this out. But I cannot give up next year's first round. I can't do it. I won't do it. I won't do that.
Knowing the history of this team and the way they draft,
but also not knowing what Marv is.
I think Marv's tape is Marv's tape. Mm-hmm. Now I don't know if he's hiding an injury. Who knows?
Right.
All right.
Right.
But his tape is clearly his tape.
Because I'll give you this one quick example as we head into the 3 o'clock hour. I think we'll see Denny Thompson out here, the quarterback whisperer, coming up just a little bit. But the guys that this team has taken in the first round, it is a miserable track record at the receiver position. Now, you'd like to get well.
Most positions.
Well.
The hell with just receiver.
Yeah, but receiver in particular, because
right.
you had Reggie Williams, you had Matt Jones, you had R.J. Soward. I'm talking about in the first round, that position where you're constantly trying to figure out, you know, if I get this guy,
right.
I've given my quarterback a weapon like you're describing. But if you go back through the years and you just take a look at the first round picks that they've made, it is deplorable how bad they've been. Now you go to the Blake Bortles year, because we're going to count down the 17th pick overall coming up, and it'll be the Blake Bortles year that we have coming up. Anyway, they went and got Marquise Lee and Allen Robinson yeah. in the second round.
Yep.
A-Rob played well. Marquise Lee played hard but just was always hurt. And so you start looking at it, it's that decision you've got to make. If you think there are enough good wide receivers in this draft, I'm not giving up a first-rounder next year to go get him.
So,
all right, you guys let us know.
So when we come back, I want to go over these wide receivers because Dane Brugler, the Athletic, who's the NFL draft guru for them, he's got 4 guys as first-round locks, 2 others that could be in the first round,
yeah,
and as many as 12 guys that could be second-round picks.
Okay, so
first or second-round picks.
Add that up. Are you at 18?
That's what I'm saying is you have 12 guys that will be first or second-round picks.
Okay. All right.
Receivers.
So, okay, I got you. So it was 4 and then potentially 2 more.
I was
adding it all together.
Potentially 2 more, 6 potential first-rounders,
yeah,
and then 12 potential In the first two rounds.
Okay. All right. We'll do that. Coming up, Mokama Beer Company, we say thanks to them. Don't forget, every single day of the week, you can enjoy coffee there. They got a great setup, and they'll barista you. They'll make sure you got a great cup of coffee. Nice place to sit and hang out. Food trucks come in and out. And then you got the craft beer being served Tuesday through Sunday. Brand new Wildlight location. Make sure you check that one out. And then their original tap room, which is an old 50s car dealership right there on South 8th in Fernandina. Mokama Beer Company, Monday. I think we will see the quarterback whisperer coming off the golf course coming up.
Cruising with XL Primetime in the First Coast Honda Dealer Studios on 1010 XL. It's Mokama Monday on XL Primetime. Head to the tap room at Fernandina Beach every day that ends with Y and enjoy some Mokama.
We love Mokama, that's for sure. We'll be up there in Fernandina before you know it. But anytime you're out and about, you can enjoy some Mokama. You might be going to the Iceman playoff games, and you can enjoy some Mokama there. The Cosmico is on tap, ready to be served. And plenty of other places you can enjoy it as well. On the YouTube, if you log on to YouTube and search 1010XL and watch us, which a listener's already pointed out, Matt and I are set up. If you look right above our head, it says ladies locker room and lounge. So I think we're in the right spot here.
What's that? Hey, ladies.
Hills.
And now that Danny's walked up, right?
Yeah. And so now that this young man walked up, RJ, if you have the quarterback whispers open, open. Let's go ahead and hit that bad boy right now. All I got to do is say, got it, and we will hit it, and that way we will take care of our man, Denny Thompson, who's coming off of the golf course right now and ready to rock and roll. RJ, you got it, my man? Hit it.
Now, the quarterback whisperer, Denny Thompson.
Okay, bring it in.
Brought to you by Tyson Sound and Security, security and automation experts, and George Moore Chevrolet.
One, two, three.
It's good to see our dude. He's ready to rock and roll. All I'm going to ask you is, did Prosser come up here and mumble 76? Is that what he mumbled?
76.
Oh. Yeah, did he mumble 76?
Really?
Over or under for you, sir?
Over. Uh-huh. Over. This is actually the first time I've played since you and I played.
Yeah.
Was that 2 years ago?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. You need to get back on the golf
course. Yeah. I hit it well, just didn't score.
Yeah.
Like, I hit it really well.
But yeah.
I couldn't score at all.
Ricky B, I'm looking at his number too, seeing what he's got. Yeah. Oh, yeah. We'll see what these numbers look like.
Yeah. I think I was more like low 90s.
Low
90s? Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's not an easy course either.
Yeah.
I mean, nothing's an easy course for me right now.
Yeah?
Yeah. No, I mean, like I said, I'm hitting it really, really well, but, Joe, it's like I got no feel.
No feel?
No feel at all.
What's the number?
Yell the number.
86.
Okay, 86. Nice.
Very nice.
Balloon.
Very nice.
He's right there in the mid-80s.
Y'all aren't working hard enough.
Oh, yeah. He's staring down his card right now, too, man.
Oh, yeah. He's brought his card in there and everything. Just looking to see. Do we see? Oh, yeah. Okay. All right.
Well done.
That's solid, bro.
Yeah.
That's solid.
Did you not play?
That's good
at all? You don't play at all?
No, no. They had, I think, maybe one or two openings. But anyway, they were filled at the last second. Mm. So I was in, then I was out.
That was fun, though. Great day.
Yeah. Listen, we're going to talk. I wanted to talk about this first thing that Matt brought up coming into our quarterback conversation. And then we will definitely get it back to the quarterback, to the quarterbacks. But – Matt, throw out the number, and we're talking about, this is Dane Brugler, who's put together his draft guide, basically with a bunch of wide receivers, potential first-round wide receivers.
Let me do the foundation of this argument. Not even really an argument, it's just we just threw this out there. It's what have they done for Trevor Lawrence in the offseason? They got Gabe Davis, who I think is a good receiver, solid guy. Mitch Morse, who at the tail end of his career, there's no doubt about that. Okay, mm-hmm. He was playing for the Chiefs when Doug Peterson was on Andy Reid's staff. It tells you how old he was. Excuse me. So – now you're looking at, let's say Roma Dunsey falls to 9. Let's say Malik Nabers falls to 9. Or, heaven forbid, Marvin Harrison falls to like 8.
Right.
What are you willing to do to get up there? And knowing this, now I say that knowing that Dane Brugler has four guys that he says are going in the first round. And those four guys are Harrison, Nabers, Dunsey, and Brian Thomas from LSU. Two more that could, Ladd McConkey, who you love, and A.D. Mitchell. And then another 6. Who he believes are second round or third round. Roman Wilson, who you also love. Keon Coleman. Ricky Pearsall, you love Ricky Pearsall.
Yep.
Xavier Worthy. And Malachi Corey, your boy, you love him as well. And Troy Franklin at Oregon.
Mm-hmm.
So knowing all those guys in the second round where you
– Malachi's that high up.
Where you find a lot of those gems in the second and third rounds, do you trade up to 8 or 9 to get one of those two guys, three guys?
I don't think so. I think that's so deep. I don't think you're going to get Rome or Harrison at 9. I just and also in Chicago at 9.
Yeah, and so that's the thought is that would they pair up Caleb with an instant target to get the football to, or are they looking to maybe get something back that they
to get some additional capital?
Yeah,
yeah. I mean, I think if you had my opinion on this is I don't think that there's that big of a gap once you get past those first two between numbers 3 and 7,
mm-hmm.
right? So if I don't think what you can get at you know, even 20.
And your first two are Junior and Dunsey.
Marv and Dunsey. Okay.
Right. And I know people love Nabers, and maybe they go 3 in the top, 10 or 3 in the top 12, something like that. But I'm such a big fan of the explosiveness of the back half of that first round and early half of the second round of those receivers that I don't know that I would give away, because you'd have to give away so much to move that far. I don't think it would make that much sense. As far as Trevor's concerned, I think – for me personally, I think this comes down to you got weapons. Like you have weapons. You have enough weapons that Trevor should be able to take the jump that we all thought he was or assumed he was taking halfway through the year last year that he ended up not taking. Now, if you can add to that, obviously it's going to make it better. But if I was going to add to it, it wouldn't be a receiver.
It'd be a line, without
question.
Thank you.
Because I think you can get that guy in the second round. Like you can get Pearsall. You can get, if you want to trade back in and get Ladd or whoever it is, the A.D. Mitchell thing's interesting. So they've got him going first round, huh?
Well, he hasn't, potentially, first or second.
Yeah, but the point is, like, there's enough of those guys that if you go get a dominant interior guy in the first round, then do that, and then there's still plenty available in the second round for you, even if you want to come back up.
Honestly, Danny, Xavier Leggett runs sub 4.4.
There's people that
love him. And the only negative is he's only done it 1 year, right?
There's probably five guys that if it was any other year, they'd be talked about as top 15 picks at receiver. Any other year.
Okay,
he may be one of those.
And I guess Brian Thomas' skill set's a little bit better than Leggett, but both of these guys had marginal time that they were really good. Basically a year and some change for both of those guys. Leggett's a little bit further down. But the other thing is like, don't you have to measure, okay, there's a bunch of – in other words, there's a big pile to choose from. But if you just get one of those, say, bottom half, are you anywhere near where you need to be as opposed to getting the elite one at the top? That's what I think GM's
does.
Wrestling
with. Let me ask you guys this. Does the style of receiver matter to this team right now? Meaning, do we need the take the top off burner guy?
I feel like that's what they need.
See,
well, that's what they lack. I know that.
This is why I love Ladd. This is why, like, I'm so pro Ladd. I've watched Ladd now for 3 years, and I think he does both. Like, he is an exceptional route runner. He finds the ball, knows where he needs to be, and then you look up and the kid runs. What was it? 4.4.
Well,
four,
he and,
four,
he
four
and
three,
Tez
something
both,
like that.
He ran 4.39 at the combo.
Yeah, 4.39. So I think that's the guy that if I'm them, like if I look up and it's pick number 26, and he's still there. Like, okay, maybe you trade back in because he does accomplish both. I think Trevor needs somebody that he knows where he's going to be.
Mm-hmm.
That's a good point.
Ladd McConkey, Coach Campo even moved him up in his first round when he started looking at him.
Size doesn't bother you?
No.
Mm. You, Joe?
Is it? I feel like he's a slot guy, honestly, do. It doesn't mean he can't be.
Can he go outside at 185 pounds?
Well, the reason it doesn't bother me is because he's had some soft tissue injury history, but he's played in the – he's played in the SEC for now for 3 years.
No, I know that, but you got to win on the outside.
But
too.
I understand that. But remember, he played as a true freshman.
Yeah.
I mean, I sat. It was Clemson. It was an ugly Clemson game, and I was actually sitting next to his parents, up in Charlotte.
The JT game. Right nine, whatever.
Yeah. And he made plays as a skinny freshman against a really good Clemson defense, like an exceptional Clemson defense.
Right.
I just think he's got enough dog and enough. I'll figure it out in him that you can move him around. Obviously, I think you want him in the slot most of the time.
Yeah.
But you cannot argue those power numbers. When you look at how quick and how explosive he is in space, there's not many guys that stack up to him. And I don't know why he's not getting more attention than what he's
doing. Plus, you can scheme third-level throws from the slot.
No doubt.
I'm just hoping.
He has to be on the outside.
Absolutely.
I'm just hoping 48, he's still there. And I think Jacksonville would jump on that.
I would be floored.
Yeah.
I will actually be floored if he makes it to the second night.
Yeah. And a lot of people are thinking a team late would jump back in and get him with that 31st, 32nd pick, whatever it might be.
Elite ball skills, too. That's the other thing. He's got all the measurables. Elite ball skills. He understands the game.
Yeah, I always say aptitude and attitude, they take you a hell of a long way.
Yep.
If you hardware and software, you got to have them all. All right, we got Denny Thompson one more seg with our quarterback whisperer, so we will get to the quarterback part of this coming up. We mentioned a lot of spring games, so we'll touch on that. DJ Lagway. I'm going to keep chanting that all the way through the break. It's XL Primetime.
You're riding in the First Coast Honda Dealer Studios. XL Primetime on 1010XL. This is XL Primetime, brought to you by Florida Home AC. Now that's cool on 1010XL.
We're hanging out with our quarterback whisperer, Denny Thompson. He's fresh off the grounds of Hidden Hills with the Googan Open, timed perfectly the Monday after Augusta, where Scotty Scheffler put on the green jacket for the second time in 3 seasons. That is doing work.
So good.
Did you see that, man? That is doing work.
Yeah, it makes it look so easy, too, doesn't he?
Yeah, he does.
It's like nothing bothers a guy. I was playing with Tom Gormley today, who's one of my partners, and he's like, just his hands, man. It's like his hands are so good. You just –
Yeah.
Everything looks so easy to that guy.
Well, you don't see him in trouble too often, and if he is in trouble, he isn't in trouble very long.
No.
Meaning the next shot doesn't compound the situation.
Heart rate never goes up.
Yeah. Just oh, yeah, that's true.
Unbelievable.
He's not squeezing the club.
No.
It's
yeah.
just
no.
nice
by, meanwhile, easy, Bryson DeChambeau is going nuts. DeChambeau's going nuts. He thought he was going to hit him another great shot because on Friday he went right of right at the par 5, 15th, I think it was. Anyway, hoist him a great shot from the opposite fairway, makes birdie. He says, that's just me. I'm Bryson DeChambeau. And then the next day he gets in a similar spot, puts it in the lake. It just made me smile.
Yeah.
All right, we've got Denny Thompson hanging out with us at the Coastal Equipment Guggen Open. Most of the golfers are in, right?
Yeah, I think so. I didn't see anybody coming
in. Yep, the award ceremony taking place. We're talking a lot of hardware will be handed out.
Oh, yeah?
That's for sure.
We won't be getting any.
Yeah, none? None?
No. It's a bad day.
All right, so let's get to the idea of where these quarterbacks are. If we looked at Florida, Tennessee, Alabama, LSU, Georgia, Denny, there are a handful of them that it's kind of wide open. I was joking when I was chanting DJ Lagway earlier because he's got a chance to play. He has the skill set where he should be viewed as a guy that's not going to be playing college football very long. I'd figure out a way to get him in football games. I would.
Yeah, I don't disagree with you, but I think that what you have at quarterback now and the experience that you have,
mm-hmm.
it's going to be hard to take Graham out of the game if you intend on throwing the ball.
Right.
Yeah.
Like that's going to be a really tough scenario. So I didn't get to watch the Florida spring game. I caught up a little bit. It was at Elite 11 weekend, so I caught mm-hmm. up a little bit with Georgia's. But my guess is that they'll personnel a little bit of what Lagway does in the regular season, get him in, get him some snaps. But if you're a Florida fan, it's probably not the best sign if he's playing a ton. That's my thought.
That's what I was saying.
Yeah, I think that Graham is at a level now. I'm starting to hear about third round, fourth round, fifth round mm-hmm. for Graham Mertz, which last year that was
impossible.
Never a conversation. Yeah. So I just don't know how much you want to take that guy off the field for a freshman, mm-hmm. no matter how talented that freshman is. It's very similar. Graham is a more talented Chris Leak, isn't he?
Yeah. Well, I don't know. Chris Leak was pretty
Chris
good.
Chris was pretty good deep
Chris
ball
was pretty
thrower.
Good now that I think about it. Chris is a pretty good player.
He's a great thrower. He had amazing talent
so
around
I
him.
I guess your question is, would Graham Mertz had been part of that championship run where you probably in 2006? Probably, yeah.
Right.
That team was so good.
And as much as – and I love Tebow as much as anybody, but as much as we love Tebow, if he's your full-time starter, they don't win it that year.
Right.
And I think that's kind of – they're not winning a natty this year. I'm not trying to say that. But mm-hmm. I think that is the same mindset going into this thing, is if you keep everything on track, then you probably should see Graham the majority of the time.
Like 90% of the
right,
time.
Right. But if you lose four games out the gate, four of your first seven, then, yeah, you might as well. I mean, at that point, you might as well throw Lagway.
Right. At that point, Rod Roberts, the interim coach, is playing Lagway every
that's,
day.
That's right. exactly right.
Right. Yeah, and that's what I was saying. If he plays a lot early, that's bad news for Billy Napier.
But
he is,
Joe, to your point, I mean, you look at him, he's exciting. And as mm-hmm. a fan, you want to see him out there running around and throwing because it looks like he can throw the ball as far as he needs to throw it. It looks like he's got all that skill set.
And the only other thing I was going to add to it is that they don't look like they have a good set of receivers right now.
Yeah, I mean, I think
so
obviously
he's going to be
Marco,
required.
Yeah,
he's going to be required to move.
Yeah, I mean, that's a problem. Now, if that's true, if we get to the season and they cannot create separation in Gainesville, then it doesn't matter who's playing quarterback.
Yeah,
because then they're just going to load the box up, play man, and what are you going to do? You're going to put DJ in there just to run into a stuffed middle?
Oh, he's got one dude. There's no doubt he's got one dude.
He's got. Mm-hmm. You don't think he's got more than one?
He's got Trey.
No, I'm saying at the very least he's got one.
Trey,
dude.
I mean, Trey.
One dude.
Yeah.
Eugene Wilson
is
a man.
Yeah.
He's a big time player. I think DK will give him a little bit downfield. He'll be a good deep threat for them. And then you just got to hope that somebody develops.
Can we,
Andy Jean, someone like that.
I know this isn't.
The kid from Trinity.
This isn't
Marcus
what
Burr.
We do.
Yeah, Marcus Burr.
Yeah, Marcus, yeah. This isn't what we do, but I do think it's imperative for Florida fans to be a little bit patient this year. And I know that's not what we do, and I know that's not what people want to hear.
Especially don't do it in the third year of a coach.
Yeah, the patience is done.
But hey,
bro.
You know what?
Three,
but listen,
no
you don't have a choice.
I know.
That's the thing. You don't have a choice. If you want DJ Lagway to be a good player at the University of Florida, you cannot rush him into a situation.
Oh, that way. Yeah. You know, I agree with that.
Yeah.
I thought that's what I'm saying.
Patience.
I thought you meant patience with Billy Napier.
No.
Oh, okay.
No.
Okay,
I'm saying if you're looking at player development, which you have to have at some point, then I don't think the proper development is throwing a guy in there when you don't have to throw him in there. When you've got a guy who's seen a ton of ball coming off of a year that he was pretty damn good.
Yeah, he was around 70% completion percentage.
But I think he was like – he was – sometimes that stat can lie, but I think Graham was actually better than his stats last year.
Mm-hmm. And last 3 weeks of the season, I think he was.
Yeah.
Early on. Because he looked pretty good against Georgia.
He did.
Too. From the Georgia game on, I think he played really well.
And that
prior
offense,
to that, it was just dink and dunk.
Yeah, yep. That offense took on a little more identity, too.
Yeah.
Finally.
They started trusting him. Yeah, right.
Real quick, Trey Wilson, 8 catches, 128 yards and a touchdown. Yeah. So, yeah, he's going to have to get the ball a lot. All right, Georgia, Carson Beck, the spring game. Kind of give us an idea of what you think might have happened up there to make Carson even a more much more to look forward to.
Well, I think you look at the stats, and it's nothing eye-popping. I went back and watched it. A couple of errant throws, but the thing I liked what Carson was doing is he was taking chances.
Mm-hmm.
And he understands he's got some guys, and if you watch them, you realize that they have every intention of throwing the ball almost every down. Mm-hmm. And they got the guys to throw the ball almost every down. He had two picks, one of which I think a young kid ran a wrong route on, but both hit a lot of batted balls. But I don't have any concerns about Carson. I think if anything, he showed that he can make the throws that he needs to make. Mm-hmm. And maybe the throws that he wasn't scared to make, but they weren't schemed in last year.
Right.
This year they are. And he can hit them, and he's got the weapons to hit them. You know, 45 yards down the field, 55 yards down the field, which he's got
scary.
Plenty of arm talent to do.
Yeah, so
scary.
I don't think I'm breaking any news here, but I was told this, and I'm sure you wouldn't mind confirming it, but that was part of the, if I come back, you have to set things up for us to throw the ball downfield.
Well, sure. I don't think it was like a set it up. It was more of just like, is this the intention?
Commitment.
Is the intention the second half of Auburn – or even Tennessee, or is this intention they did against South Carolina or something like that?
Right.
And, of course, with confidence, I think, comes intention, right? So, yeah, I would anticipate them throwing the ball 40, 45 times.
So instead of an offensive coordinator.
Wait, that was big.
That
Say
is
that
big.
Again.
Yeah, I mean, that's my thought. You've got maybe the best returning starter, right, in the country. You've got a running back who's very good out of the backfield in the pass game.
Mm-hmm.
And then you've got a slew of receivers and tight ends. Yeah. Why wouldn't
you?
I don't disagree with it at all. All I'm saying is that's a gigantic leap from Kirby going
departure.
To just basically we're going to run the ball to set up play action.
Yeah.
Now you're saying they're going tempers.
Maybe that's wishful thinking on my part. But but if I've got those pieces in the offense, the kid they got from Vanderbilt is spectacular.
Yeah.
So if I've got those pieces, man, I don't even know why. Yeah. I don't know why I wouldn't do that.
He's a bigger lad, actually, is what he is.
They've got a schedule, too, that they're going to need to throw the ball. I mean, this is a tough schedule they're playing. It's not last year's schedule at all.
So you're telling me they're going 4-5 wide and they are throwing the ball.
That's what I got out of Saturday.
Wow.
Did you watch it Saturday?
I did.
Yeah.
But I just assumed it was a spring game. They're getting receivers work and stuff like that.
If you've got a veteran quarterback, I don't know. I mean, I would think that what you're doing in the spring is close to what you want to do in the fall. I would guess.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I mean, if I have that roster that Kirby has and with a quarterback who's returning and is as talented as Carson, I don't know why you wouldn't try to do what LSU did with Burrow.
Yeah, I think you can't help but say, hey, where are my strengths?
Right.
Whatever my strengths are, I'm playing to them. And it's funny because I'm picturing instead of a offensive coordinator going to a quarterback and saying, hey, I want to try some things and we're going to do this and this is what – I think the quarterback's going to the offensive coordinator saying, I would like to do this.
I don't think that's it. I think it's a very – what's the word I'm looking for? Community approach. Mm-hmm. I think he's been there now for, what, 5 years?
Yeah.
I mean
– they
trust him too.
Right. And he loves Mike Bobo and all of the history that Kirby Smart and Carson have has now created kind of a mature relationship. So I do think that they have a very team approach, a nice team approach to what they're trying to do offensively in Georgia. I'm a Florida fan, but mm-hmm. I pull for my guys. And mm-hmm. so I'm a temporary
sure.
– I kind of sold my soul to Georgia this year when Carson went back in the sense that I'm putting everything I've got
mm-hmm. –
into 15.
I don't know if Hacker is going to welcome you back, honestly, if I'm being truthful here. I don't know if he's going to welcome you back.
I haven't even thought of that yet.
All right. So we will leave it there, and we'll get ready for next week because it's going to be nothing but draft talk.
It's draft week next week.
Yes, next week, Brody.
Yeah, we got a nice, like, clean week this week. Nobody's in town.
Yeah.
Everybody's at OTAs or taking a break. So, we're getting a little golf in. Going to head up to Athens Wednesday night, spend a couple days there. Mm-hmm. So yeah, man, our grind time has kind of slowed down for a couple weeks.
You gonna get a trip in the Lambo around Athens?
I'm sure. I better. Yeah.
Denny Thompson, our quarterback whisperer. Thank you, bro.
All right, boys.
At Denny _ Thompson. Make sure you check him out there. And, of course, as we get ready for the draft talk next week, it will be how many of those quarterbacks are going to go in the first round. We'll do all that coming up. I'm going to get to your Jaguars a little bit, some of the questions that we posed about moving up. What would you be getting? We will definitely get into some of your responses. It is XL Primetime. Joe C., Matt Hayes on a Mocama Beer Company Monday.
The First Coast Honda Dealer Studios on 1010XL. Who lit it up last night? Brought to you by American-Electrical.com.
Dunks went down and got it. He flipped it over to Ben Carroll. Now 3-on-1. Powell, dunk it down! The step through, well and one, had nothing to do with this. Now Ben Carroll. Step back 3 over Brooks. Cash! Oh, he keeps the gooseneck up and P5. Feeling it. He's got 24 points now. Orlando's lead is 9.
You know, after last year, you know, we felt like we were good enough to make that jump to this year. So it was just a team-wide expectation, and we're sitting here now. So I think we're all proud.
Well, that's pretty good stuff. Banchero with the Orlando Magic.
He's a shooter now, man.
Yeah, and Paolo, definitely a talented cat. RJ put that together. Who lit it up? American-Electrical.com. Make sure you check them out. They will light it up for you with all sorts of cool features they can do to automate your home. Make sure you check out a local company powered by professionalism, American Electrical. So we haven't talked about the association too much. You get that with Open Gym with RJ Sunday mornings at 11 a.m. But there's all this chatter about the play-in games on both sides, 7 versus 8, 9 versus 10, who's going to be able to get in, Lakers playing the Pelicans, and then on this side, you got a possibility of the Heat and a couple of other ones that are going to make it in. So I'm looking forward to it just to see how it ultimately plays out, but the defending champions are, RJ, is Golden State 9th or 10th?
They are 10th. 10th.
Yeah, okay, so isn't that crazy just the way things have gone for them with the way – it's not like Steph got old or anything like that. There just wasn't a whole heck of a lot around him. But to go from winning to having to try and get into the play-in game is something else. All right, that's good stuff. Let's get back to your Jacksonville Jaguars. Let's get back to this discussion. I mentioned some of the responses on the text line. Set it up real quick, Matt, as far as what we were saying.
So what we were saying, if you really want to do something for – Trevor Lawrence, if the idea is to give him every opportunity to reach his ceiling, right?
Yeah.
Do you trade up and try and get an impact player? You know, you would think it would be wide receiver because you're not going to move up for an offensive lineman. You wouldn't think you would.
You wouldn't think, but again,
there are guys that, I mean, Troy Fontenot is a guy that you could move up and get. He's right now the number one rated guard. He also can play tackle.
Yeah.
So if you're looking down the road at a guy that could move back out to tackle, he could be that guy.
Right. I would not be moving up for a guard. Fontenot, if I'm looking at him as tackle, Fuanga, I'm looking at him as a tackle. Alt, of course, if he were to fall, some of those types of guys, you better be looking at that tackle position if you're going to move up.
But if you're going to do that, if you're going to move up and take Alt, part of that move has to be Cam Robinson, does it not?
Well, I think if
that guy's not going to sit if you're moving up to take
him. Oh, no. I think if you did anything, you have a draft night move.
Right.
You give up a second-round pick or you give up whatever. You move from 17 to 8 or 9. It would cost you a little bit more to move to 8. But anyway, you move into the top 10. You grab that top tackle. At the same time, there's a transaction. You are trading Cam Robinson.
Right.
That will have to happen. That could not – I don't believe that would happen later. That would have to happen Thursday
immediately,
night.
Right. So Dane Brugler has one guy who he believes Fontenot will go in the first round, one guard.
Mm-hmm.
He has one other guard that he believes could go in the first round, and that's Jordan Morgan from Arizona.
Mm-hmm.
And his number three guard is Cooper Beebe, who's the only guy he says has a lock second-round grade.
Okay, where is –
there are a couple others that are second-slash-third-round grades. I think Cooper Beebe could go in the late first, actually.
But where is JPJ? Because at least he's viewed as a guy –
he's a center. He's the number one
center.
I know,
but he's viewed as a guy that could play guard. So I'm just asking where is he at with those other guards?
He's not in the guards. He's listed as a center.
No, the problem. Does it put a category for him, like top 20 pick or – I was just curious.
No, just this first round.
Yeah.
Yeah, just this first round.
Yeah. because Jackson Power Johnson could be playing guard.
He could play guard, then move over to center.
Yeah, because off the text line, another guy bringing it up, you know, with all the being and moaning over Luke Fortner's decline last year, the Jags did help Trevor by getting Mitch Morris. There's your fact. And so, yeah, they are counting on that, and they're counting on him being a solid, solid center, a guy who's not going to hurt you, he's not going to cave in. It's going to stay healthy because Luke Fortner was a liability. There's really no other way to get around that part of it. All right, so some of the other ones, the idea is that are you trying to go out and get the biggest, baddest offensive lineman? If there is a good enough guy up there, then that's what you do. Text line says they can play different positions. If Trevor is not upright, it doesn't matter who the receiver is, which is fair.
Yeah.
He's got to have time to get the ball out. Another thought, Harrison is a diva because he didn't run, didn't work out, all the stuff that we have heard about him. And you got to admit
that's one of the things that I think that is scaring some personnel people that, you know, he chose not to run. He chose not to do things that other receivers did. And that doesn't mean guys in the past have also done that. Yeah. Other receivers, other running backs, other quarterbacks, right? So it doesn't mean all of a sudden that's going to be the reason why he's not taken, but it certainly is a reason why there are some people who see him and now think, all right, I'm not sure. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure I want to deal with that.
Yeah, yeah. And so we all are going to find out. The personality of Malik Nabers has been brought into question. The Marv Harrison discussion is out there. Who knows? The lack of overall experience or time being a star in the college game has been brought up with a Brian Thomas, with an ex-Leggett. You know, some of these guys they're all having to answer some questions.
They do.
In some form
they
or
do.
Fashion.
Which is that's why I keep saying that you have less of a chance of missing with a big nasty.
Yeah.
With a big nasty ugly dude that's just strong as hell.
Yeah.
Now again, the bigger payoff is a guy is if you hit with a receiver, if you hit with a Justin Jefferson at 21 or wherever he was picked, that's the big payoff, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
But the safer thing to do is to get one of those big uglies, especially since you got to keep your guy upright.
Yeah.
You got to keep him with confidence and his ability to step up in the pocket.
Yeah. And Trevor had such a limited time to make his decisions. And look, I'll argue this, and I'll stay on this side until I'm given a reason to see the other side. But for the here and now, he didn't have a whole hell of a lot of time to make a second or third read. He had to basically make a pretty swift decision and get the ball out. All right?
Until proven otherwise.
If he now has if they go and they get a lineman and he's sitting back there and Mitch Morris and they draft another one and all this stuff,
right.
And he's sitting back there and he has 3.5 seconds to make a decision and he's not making the right decision, then you can start to lean on him a little bit. But for the here and now, I want to see him have a clean pocket for a decent amount of time to get the ball out. And that way that guy has a chance to run his pattern, drive a defender off of him, turn, there's the football, open,
well,
move
just,
the chains.
I mean, we say this all the time about the passing game. It's at every level it's like this, but at the NFL more than ever, it's a three-pronged thing. It's it's the receiver's got to win on the outside. That's number one.
Yeah.
You got to have protection. That's number two. And then the quarterback's got to throw it on time and with anticipation. All three of those things have to happen in a matter of 2.7 seconds.
Yeah, it's the truth.
So there's a lot going on operationally there, okay?
Yeah.
That's all I'm saying. Yeah. So and if one of those things messes up, then you've got problems.
From the defensive side, this is off the text line. You know, I certainly am not going to ignore that side of the ball for sure. Trent says, Jags can't trade up for anything other than a top two cornerback because the defensive back cupboard is too bare for the new defensive coordinator. Not too much to argue with there, because they've made the decision to depart from expensive guys that may not fit in Ryan Nielsen's system. They said goodbye to Rayshon. They said goodbye to Darius, especially Darius Williams, because of the style of cornerback that he is. And so we should not ignore the possibility of making sure you get a Quinion, a Terrion Arnold, whomever you might say is at the top of your cornerback draft board. That's possible.
I actually think corner is a safer pick than receiver. Receivers scare the hell out of me, honestly. Yeah. In the first round, the top 10, just crazy. I mean, if you're waiting until 17, and let's say Malik Nabers drops to 17, then I'd say, all right, fine. But Receivers just scare me that early in the draft.
Well, I'll just repeat what I threw out to you earlier, and it's definitely worth pointing out to fans. And look, I like seeing the offensive skill position players as much as anybody. Those are the guys with the ball in their hand, taking it to the end zone, taking it to the house, and you can't help but get fired up about it. But they showed one of the guys on X throughout the top earning wide receivers. In other words, these guys have played well enough to earn big contracts, so they're balling. Tyreek Hill, fifth round pick. We know he had questions about his behavior. That's what led him to dropping. But still, he was a fifth round pick, 165th
right,
overall.
Right.
Devontae Adams, second round pick, 53rd overall. Cooper Kupp, third round pick, 69th overall. AJ Brown, second round pick, 51st pick. DK Metcalf, second round, 64th pick. Debo Samuel, second round, 36th pick. Michael Pittman Jr., second round, 34th pick. Calvin, the only guy as far as the highest paid guys that is among the top 10 with the average per year contract, he was the 26th pick overall. Terry McLaurin, third round, 76th pick. Stephon Diggs, a guy that was also drafted in the fifth round. He also had some questions around him, too.
So, yes. So, let's just put it this way. In the last 7 years,
mm-hmm.
the Rams have drafted an all-pro receiver
yeah.
in the third round and the sixth round.
Yeah, it's nuts. Yeah,
an all-pro receiver, not yeah. Pro Bowl,
right.
All-pro.
And Cooper and Puka.
Puka.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And Puka came out of the box hot. That guy was destined as soon as he came out because he knew how to run the right routes. He knew how to understand the offenses. He knew what he was going to take from the defenses. And the guy's just a uber-talented guy. Can't believe he was that far down. And they took him. They win.
Well, you also have to have scouts that know what they're mm-hmm. watching.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
you have to have personal guys that know what they're – like when they're watching tape, when they're evaluating guys – when they go to these guys' pro workouts, you've got to – like a lot of personnel guys can say, yeah, we knew about Kupp.
Yeah.
We knew about Puka. We were waiting. They yeah. all say that. You didn't pick him. If you knew about him and you knew he was going to be a Pro Bowl-type player
yeah.
or an all-pro player, you take him.
Yeah, and I think that's what it is like let's not forget the L.A. Rams, and let's give Les Snead a lot of credit here. He went and got – who was it? Kobe Turner and – Brian Young or Byron Young,
right.
two defensive linemen that also stepped in and made contributions. That is hard to do, and it's really been hard around here.
Well, it's getting them and it's developing them. That's
yeah.
another key too. Is you're developing them. Who knows if I mean honestly, who knows if Brent Strange didn't land with I don't know the 49ers,
right?
If he doesn't develop differently, who knows?
Yeah,
right.
I get. And this coaching staff has been challenged with developing players this go around. And that's on both sides.
And that's not, and again, that's not on Doug Peterson. I'm not ripping Doug Peterson. I'm saying that staff in general. You've got guys, your second and third round picks were not developed.
Mm-hmm.
It's as simple
mm-hmm.
as that.
Yeah.
The guys are just not out there because they didn't know what they were doing half the time.
Right. I think that's fair to say. I don't think that, look, they tried Tank Bigsby early and he put himself on the bench with mistakes. And then either didn't pick up the offense or didn't pick up the blitz, and then we know that he mishandled the football. So, yeah, I get it. The Brenton Strange thing, contributions early, and then little by little, less contributions. So, yeah, that could have something to do with coaching. All right, listen, we had a great time. We are out of here. We're going to hand it off to the Franchi Show. You know what we're doing? We're going from the first floor to second floor. Okay, that's the level that you're about to go with the Franchi Show, okay? We say thanks to Mokama Beer Company. We had a great time today. You're going to have a great time anytime you head into the tap room. Both Wildlight with their brand-new location or in Fernandina Beach right there on South 8th. Check out Mokama and pick up some of that great craft by logging on to Mokama.com. Find them at Total or ABC, and you will enjoy it. We are done. Joe C., Matty Hayes, Big Sur will be back with us mañana. RJ Saunders back at headquarters. Take it away, my man.
Buckle up. You're in the First Coast Honda Dealer Studios with XL Primetime on 1010XL. Find your new Honda at your 8 local Honda dealers.